are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So evangelism is not only about converting others to Christianity, but also about bringing about spiritual transformation and renewal in individuals and communities. So today we are wrapping up the conversation about all things evangelism, and we're going to be looking at the impact and transformation that happens through evangelism. And we're joined on the line by Pastor Kennedy Mukuka, who has been graciously coming through to give us the knowledge. Themfundisi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. How are you?
I am good so much, Mfundiswami. Thank you so much for coming through once again to come speak to us about this one.
Amen.
Amen. Mfundisi, before we start, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Our kind and loving Father, thank you for your goodness, kindness, and mercy. We ask and pray once again that, Lord, you may be with us as we run through and conclude our evangelistic program on such a week ahead. Father, trust and pray that you may be with the listeners even today, Lord. May the message be heard, be listened to, and also be put into practice. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, we're speaking about all things impact and transformation as well as conversions today. So how do personal conversions, stories and testimonies contribute to the broad narrative of evangelism within the Christian faith? Because I understand that the more we testify, it's the more someone else gets changed out there. So how does it work, Mfundisi?
Thank you so much. Personal evangelism is very, very important. So is stories that come from those that have taken time to minister, and just someone just coming in to share a story about their conversion. So this is very important when you actually read the Samaritan woman after having an encounter with Jesus Christ, after realizing that my life is never the same, my life will never be the same. She did not just sit like that, but she went ahead to call and to evangelize to others. Now, why did that message sit so well with them? It is because they knew the life and the character this woman lived. So they were able even to believe more and to follow the message, because I believe in their heads they were saying, if such a person can change, what about us? So it actually touches their heart, if we can say. It actually touches the ignition of a human mind in terms of evangelism. So people are able to pick a lot in conversion stories, unlike just where they're just hearing us speaking and speaking without them even seeing what we are talking about. So it actually reaches the heart of an individual, and they see and they even hear that someone who had such a character was able to come to Jesus Christ. They are also able to come in and follow.
So, Mfundisi, when we testify, right, there in the book of Revelations, it does say that he was defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimonies. So when we testify, you know, how do they now English is running away. Why are my words running away? You know, so how does now personal testimonies in Mfundisi of changed lives provide evidence of God's work and faithfulness in this world? Because sometimes people are like, there's no God, you know. You're a Christian, you've been a Christian for over 20 years, we've not seen God do anything in your lives. But when now we start testifying, does that help change people's mind? And do we really defeat the devil by our testimonies?
We actually do, because, the devil has actually actually a scheme of defeating our minds, our weak minds, that Jesus Christ does not have power. Mm-hmm. The devil has actually employed his own agents, actually, who are going around to minister in indirect that God does not heal, God does not forgive sins, mm-hmm. God does not do miracles. So the devil has also been doing that in a destructive manner altogether. Mm-hmm. So if at all we come in and share personal stories and stories about people that have actually changed their lives, that will sit well with them, because mm-hmm. we are dealing with people that have already an information that Jesus Christ does not answer prayer, Jesus Christ does not do miracles, Jesus Christ does not do wonders. So if at all we go with an evidence of a story of someone, if at all it is me, I have a story, and I stand in front to give a personal story how I got converted, I may be talking to a drunkard who has actually even refused to say, me, I will never change because I have tried, it is not possible. The family have taught this person, it is not possible for you to change. God will not change you. But when this person hears me speak my testimony, how I have changed, it will sit so well with this person, because I am a weak person, that person is a weak person. So if at all that person sees that, my fellow sinful human being, my fellow sinful individual can change, so I can also change. So otherwise, it sits so well with someone. For example, if at all we go to business world, you will discover that if at all I say I want to start farming, someone will tell me to say, don't just begin farming without consulting those that are doing farming. Those that are doing farming. So they'll tell me, go to such and such a person, go and consult from them how they are doing it. So it's me who want to come to Jesus Christ, and I think it is something difficult. So I will be advised to say, okay, read about such a story, go to such an individual, you will tell how God has been so gracious to them. So otherwise, it acts like a mirror to someone to say, you are seeing yourself in this mirror, you are a bad person altogether, a drunkard altogether, a prostitute altogether, you can also change. If someone, actually there is some broken English, people say, if they did it, we can also did it. You see, if they
did it, you can also did it.
Yes. For example, if I thought I'm a drunkard and we've got some ex-drunkards, if they did it coming to Christ, I can also did it.
I didn't know this is so funny.
Exactly.
And you are right, Mfundisi Swami. These testimonies, they tell us. And even if we look at God in the situations, we're like, if God can did it, He can also did it for me. You know, if He did it for you, exactly, He can also did it for me. So it's a thing. So Mfundisi, can you now discuss the role of personal conversion stories in inspiring faith, hope, and spiritual renewal in others?
Thank you so much. Number one, the role of personal conversion stories in inspiring faith. Number one is it revives the dead faith. It revives the dead faith. It revives the dead faith. You know, we've got many people in the church, outside the church, who've been going through issues, difficulties of life altogether, such that even when you're telling them, let us pray, they'll just say, anyway, let us try for another time. Let us try. But Pastor, I've tried. So if at all they actually come together with this person who has experienced what they're experiencing, and they're experiencing what the friend is experiencing, I feel just that story will be able to revive some faith in them. Here is an example. Here is a person who stayed maybe 10 years without without having a child, 12 years in marriage without a child, and then someone come in and tell them to say, I stayed for 19 years without a child, and we did not give up until God, in the 19th year, he blessed us with a child. Actually, he did not just bless us with a child, he blessed us with twins, you see? So when someone hears such, they'll be able to hold on even if they were about to divorce because of not having a child. Mm. That will encourage them and say, anyway, not even anyway, but let us try also. Maybe our blessing, the fruit of the womb, is in the 19th year. Mm. So let us have faith in God. So number one, the role of stories of conversion, they revive faith. They revive faith. We've got people in the church today, including some preachers who preach the gospel. You discover that here is a person who, because, you know, we all face problems and we all go through problems. One can be a preacher, but yet they've got some earthquakes in their lives, which they are going through. But if they hear that this is also a preacher who used to go through such problems, and this is their testimony altogether, they'll be able to be strengthened and to have their faith revived. Mm. So that is number one. Number two, it strengthens our faith, because it is not enough to have our faith revived alone. We also need something that will keep strengthening our faith. Because, for example, if my faith is revived today, I will still face a challenge and a problem that will come to shake my faith. But the only thing that will make me to have my faith strengthened all the way, it is the continuation of the stories of conversion. Mm. That is why actually our church has done so well in the quartery.
Yes.
There is always a mission story.
Mm, 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 mm.
There is always a mission story. Those mission stories, you know, I just want to believe maybe there are some churches who even don't consider to read that mission story. But that mission story is, you know, it has done wonders to people. It has done wonders to people. And I feel we need to change the approach we approach those mission stories. We have to change the approach we approach those mission stories, because some of us, we can even give just anyone to say, okay, go and read the mission story. You just read it. People, even others, are not even saying amen to that mission story. But if we take those mission stories the way they are written, with the motive they are written for, I believe a lot of us, our faith will be revived, because every Sabbath there is a mission story that is coming, that is showing us that this one was an unbeliever. You know, it was an unbeliever, was a person who was too far from God. But when an Adventist family shifted to that place, it was a different ballgame altogether. So mm-hmm. I want to encourage all the Adventists who are listening to me to say, please, if at all you are preparing for your study this Sabbath school, please pay attention to that mission story that is in your coterie. Those mission stories, they are very important. Number one, they revive our faith. Number two, they strengthen our faith. And the last one, they renew our faith, because it is not enough only to have our faith revived, to have our faith strengthened. We need also to have our faith renewed.
Yeah, ne? Renewed the faith. But you spoke about the mission stories that are there. What I've seen is that they're usually, I don't know, maybe it's only my church, they're usually shared during Sabbath school. Is that an effective way, though, of using them? Or there are other ways in which the church can use them effectively in order for them to have an impact in our lives? Or they're okay just being part of the Sabbath school, and then we read there, you know, they even give us, we read, the person who's supposed to read didn't preach, they just bring in someone, quickly read the text there. Or there's a way in which you can use them effectively.
Thank you so much. I think this is what I advise some Sabbath school leader at some church somewhere. You know, I will use this term. We have casualized those mission stories. Mm-hmm. We have casualized those mission stories to the point that if at all there are some areas and places where it is putting an impact which it is written for. Those places are few. Otherwise, in many places, those mission stories have been casualized. And here has been my stance. Here has been my stance. You know, there are people actually who only go to church for men's service alone. Just for men's service alone. Sabbath school, they are not there. Bible study of the afternoon, they are not there. They only come at that time when the preacher a sermon, that's all. So I feel if at all we can...
Oh, network. Network, network, network. Come back, please. Pundis is telling us important things there about the mission stories. Okay, let me see. Is it holding or is it coming back? Or I need to call him back. Let me see. Let me see. I think I need to call him back. Okay, let me call back Pundisi. Let me call back Pundisi here because the network just dipped there. We are speaking about all things evangelism, personal conversions and testimonies. Have you had those? How has it been for you? The network seems to have properly dropped them. And we're going to see if it's going to come back. If it does come back, and then we'll continue with the round of Pundisi. But as we're doing that, let's take a listen to this one. Pundisi, welcome back. We had lost you there.
Thank you so much.
Yes, you may continue, Pundisi.
Okay, great. Yeah, so I was saying, you know, there are people who do not attend Sabbath school. And they'll only come during men's service when the preacher, when the pastor of the day is doing a sermon. So I feel if at all we can fuse in mission story during that time, number one, it is much better. That's number one. Number two, if we know that the preacher who is preaching is this one, because we know that this Sabbath, the preacher who is preaching is this one. So if at all we can also be talking to the preachers of the day, to the preachers of that day, to talk to that person and then use that mission story as part of the sermon in the ending of his sermon and make a call using that mission story. I feel that can also be, because, you know, those mission stories are very, very powerful. So, because we've had mission stories, someone was sick for a long time, and then an Adventist went to pray for that person got healed. You know, there are people out there who don't believe to say Adventists can pray, and someone gets healed, someone gets to see, someone gets to walk. There are people who don't believe that Adventists can pray to such level. So if at all we bring in those mission stories and put them as part of the sermon call, I feel we will have some bit of a difference. So we remove it from the Sabbath school and take it to be part of the men's service menu. We just advise the preacher nicely. He, if at all he's comfortable, he brings it maybe in the beginning of his sermon or in the end of his sermon as he's making a call. He also brings in that mission story so that we avoid preachers making stories, telling stories of rabbits, telling stories of crocodiles. How do you bring in those stories? Yes, you've got preachers here. He's on the pulpit. The rabbits was the tortoise started moving. You know, those people have heard those. You know, people have heard those, and those are the stories they used to tell. They used to be taught by their grandparents and the like. So when you're telling them those Tuma stories of, you know, here we call them Kalulu, the rabbits, we call them to Kalulu and the like. But when we bring in that real stuff, which is happening, I feel there is a way people will be able just to tighten their belts. They want to sit nicely and hear, is this a story that we are getting? They want to hear that because one or two in that congregation will be touched and will relate to that mission story altogether.
Yes, when you're listening to Mfundisi, you think, "Ay, Shem is done. He's done." The other day it was weaves, and then it was did it, and now it is tortoise. Yeah, nah. So as we wrap up Mfundisi, Wami, then if someone were to would have tuned in, like let's say today, they're like, "I hear you guys are speaking about testimonies, you know, about conversions and everything else. But what is the main message when it comes to evangelism? What would you tell them, Mfundisi, Wami?" And then after that, please do offer a word of prayer.
Thank you so much. The main message and the summary of everything is that number one, we all need to be involved. That's number one. We all need to be involved. And when we are all involved, I know we cannot all be involved at once, but when we are all involved, we will go out there and bring those that are still having doubts in the power of the Lord. Otherwise, the message of evangelism is come, wait, and then be empowered with the Holy Spirit and go and also bring those who are swallowed by the word. So basically, it is a message which carries a blessing, I believe, to say even when we go to heaven, there will be a difference between those that participated in bringing the lost to Christ and those that just that were just watching. So please let us all be involved. We cannot all be involved by preaching, but we can all be involved in different ways altogether. Some can bring in their finances, some can bring in their talents, some they can bring in their gifts altogether. So we can all be involved. No one is to give an excuse to say, me, I'm not gifted in this area of evangelism. We are all called to be empowered and to be sent and to bring to the church for nurturing and for discipleship.
Mm-hmm. Please pray, Mpundisi.
Let us pray together. Our kind and loving Father, Lord, we say thank you for your goodness, kindness, and mercy. Father, we ask and pray that may the messages that has been preached this week, Heavenly Father, concerning evangelism, reach even to those, Heavenly Father, who did not attend through those that attended. Father, I want to pray and ask in the name of Jesus, may you continue to bless the leadership of Adventist World Radio. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, may you also bless us who participated in this program. Father, I ask and pray in your name that forgive our sins, write our names in the book of life, send us to go and represent you the way you need to be represented, Father. If at all at any point we misrepresented you, God, may you forgive us and correct our ways. In Jesus' name we pray, committing other programs of the radio in your hands, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundisi, thank you so much for coming through throughout the whole week. May you have yourself a blessed Sabbath as well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate for having given me this privilege to share what God spoke through us.
Amen and amen.
Blessing.
Mid-morning empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.